Well, we are very happy to have Victor. He's a physics teacher at Lancaster Mennonite School. Really happy that he could be here with us this morning and what God has put on your heart to share with us.
Yeah, I blew it.
All right, so we're going to read the scripture now together. It's from the book of Matthew, chapter 14, 22 to 33. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me!" Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Victor, blessings to you.
Good morning, everyone. It's a real privilege and pleasure just to be with you and listen to God's message and what God wants to tell us all. And I would like to say thank you so much for inviting me. It's really a great privilege. Thanks for Neil and thanks for Pastor Randy. And I'm so glad to see some people from Lancaster Night School. It's a pleasure actually to be with all of you today. And I would like to start a little bit speaking about this story. And our theme for today is Christ is all what you need. And what happened in my life and how Christ shaped my life through this story. Actually, I was in elementary school and I studied a little bit about the ancient Egyptian's language. And I found something very profound in this story. They tried to invent and create a language. And when they came to write letters, they didn't find any letters to write it and express words. So they came up with the idea. It was kind of creative idea. They found kind of symbols and figures to express words. So when they came to the word impossible, they found the only impossible is feet walking on the water. So they decided to draw feet walking on the water as kind of impossible. And I found in this story something very profound. Jesus came to his disciples walking on the water. I said, "What? Jesus walking on the water? This is impossible. Nobody can walk on the water." The ancient Egyptians said, "Nobody can walk on the water." And I do think that every one of you will agree with me that nobody can walk on the water. Can you walk on the water? I can't. Can you? So, I found as well, Peter saw Jesus. In the beginning, I'd like to speak a little bit about the story. Jesus did a great miracle, and after his miracle, he sent his disciples, told them to take the boat and go to the other side of the sea. They took the boat, and Jesus went on the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer. And he found that all his disciples in the middle of the sea, with huge storm and strong waves, tossed back and forth the boat, and they were terrified, and they were afraid, and they were about to die and sink in the sea. Jesus came to them walking on the water. So, when Jesus came to them walking on the water, they were terrified more, and they cried out in fear, "It is a ghost!" And actually, in the gospel, you will find the same story in the Gospel of Matthew and in the Gospel of Mark. And when they cried, "It is a ghost," they found something very different, that Peter thought, maybe it is not a ghost. Maybe it is God himself walking on the water, and he came to save us. He was Jesus, and there is only one who can walk on the water. I thought a lot about this idea, and I found the only one who can walk on the water is the one who created the water. And Peter came up with a great idea. "I will tell him, if it is you, command me to come to you walking on the water." Jesus said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and started walking on the water. That's another impossible. Nobody can walk on the water. But I found out that this is wonderful story to the life, and a picture to the life that God wants to use and improve and do something unique. Jesus called Peter, and Peter started walking on the water. So the idea here, with Jesus Christ, the impossible is possible. With him, the impossible becomes possible. He will equip his people and empower them to do things that on their own they will never be able to do that. So, I would like to say that I felt God invites me, and Jesus invites me, and invites us all for a walk. Actually, it's unforgettable walk. He wants us to walk with him on the water. That's impossible. But he is the God of impossible. He created the water, and when he invites us to walk on the water, he will equip and empower us and walk with us. And it will be time for growth, to discover and explore your talents, your gifts, and the purpose that God created you for. Sometimes in our hearts we feel God wants to do something more. There is more for life. It's not only about life. It's not only about how to have a job and stuff and things just going on in your life. But there is, you are created for something more. You are created for the glory of God and for a reason. And our God is a great God. And he created us for a thing. So I want to invite you for a walk, unforgettable walk. Let's Peter walk stand as an invitation to everyone who, like him, wants to step out in faith, who wants to experience something more about the power and the presence of God. This is the whole story, and it is a really great picture for doing something with God's help, what I could never do on my own. So, if you want to be water walker, just keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on him, and you will find and easily discern this call. The second thing, sometimes we face a challenge, and such a challenge is the idea between faith and fear. Walking on the water, just think a little bit and imagine the picture of the water. It was dark night, darkness around, waves, storm, and wind. It's a very scary situation. But Jesus is walking on the water. And he invites us to do the same, to walk with him. As human beings, we cannot do that. But he wants us to step in faith and believe in him and trust in him. They cried out, and Peter only got the point. Actually, in Gospel of Mark, what happened, I found something that Jesus intended to pass them by. And Peter got the point that it's kind of theophany. It's divine appearance in a situation for something. And God is walking on the water. In the book, I found actually a verse. Only God can do such a thing. He alone treads on the waves of the sea. In the book of Job, chapter 9 and verse 8. Only God can do that. I would like to encourage you with a story. And this story happened like 5 years ago. I received an email from a lady, and she was crying out and said, "My mom is so sick, and she is going for a brain surgery, and it is very dangerous, and it's kind of hopeless case. The physicians said it's hopeless case. Maybe she will never live again. And she was devastated. She loved her mom. And I felt like what we can do as kind of the person who studied science and physics and stuff like that, we can say, okay, take her to a second opinion, another physician, another country, and stuff like that. But I was thinking deeply about this idea, and I came up with the idea that in Gospel of John, chapter 11, Jesus Christ did something very profound. When he received the message from Mary and Martha about Lazarus, Jesus said, "This sickness is not for death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." And I remembered one thing that inspired me. God has the first word, and he has as well the last word. So, let's go to him and send our message to him. Let's pray and ask him. Jesus said, "This sickness is not for death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." After a time, she sent an email and said that touched her heart deeply, and she started praying and seeking the face of the Lord and seeking the Lord himself to do a miracle. And we do believe that we are in need for healing. Jesus can heal our sickness. And she believed in Jesus. And she said, "The sickness of my mom is not for death, but for the glory of God. And everything is going in our life is for a purpose and for a plan and for a glory of God himself. And if I believe, I will see the glory of God." So God invites us to believe in him, to trust in him, to surrender to him. A few days ago, I was reading a book, and the title of the book is 7 Keys to Spiritual Renewal. And the first key is surrender. And the author said, surrender is everything. Surrender to God. Trust in him. Do you know, it's all about his character and his competence. It's all about the character of Jesus Christ and his competence, what he can do. We trust in him. Jesus Christ, who was many years ago, he is the same. The Bible tells us Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I was amazed today, actually for some reasons. Number one, today I attended the Sunday school. Thanks for Pastor Randy for inviting me for Sunday school. And I watched a wonderful video for John Ortberg and Dallas Willard about the divine conspiracy, and he said something. I was reading his book one year ago, and he said, "Jesus is not only nice, he is brilliant." Yes, Jesus is brilliant. That was insightful. And when we follow him and trust in him, he can do something in our lives. Just believe in him. Do you believe as Jesus said to Martha? If you believe, you will see the glory of God. And Jesus came to the disciples walking on the water, and he wanted to say a message. You can trust me. You know my character and my competence. You can safely place your destiny in my hand. Take courage. It's me. It's me, which means I am. I am the Lord. I am God. God owns it all, and he is able to do more than we can think or imagine. If we are looking for something bigger in our lives, we have to trust in him, surrender to him. I struggle with that sometimes. I feel, "Lord, increase my faith in you." A few years ago, I went to New York City, and a friend of mine invited me to attend a church, and the name of the church is Times Square Church, and the pastor has a wonderful message. And the message was about the centurion. He came to Jesus and said, many people came to Jesus actually and said, "You have to go and heal the servant of the centurion because he is worthy to do something for him. He loves our nation and he built the temple for us." The centurion himself went to Jesus and said, "Lord, I am not worthy, but say the word. Lord, I am not worthy, but say the word." Jesus Christ was amazed. He astonished. And he said, I never found in all Israel faith like that. Can you imagine? I'm not worthy, but say the word, which means the Lord is able to do something for us, but we should trust in Him. When we, our Lord, the currency we will, that we will use is our faith in Him, trusting in Him. But it takes time. The Apostle Paul prayed for the believers in Ephesians, asking the Lord to give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in His knowledge, so they may know Him better. Spirit of wisdom and revelation in His knowledge. We need such a spirit. We need spirit of discernment, seeking the Lord, what you want me to do, what areas in my life you want me to work on it. Water walking is kind of spiritual growth. There is always fear, but when you step out in faith, God will do something very profound. And Peter enjoyed such time. Peter recognized that God was present, even in the most unlikely place. He realized that this was an extraordinary opportunity for spiritual adventure and growth. And through the spirit of discernment, he asked Jesus, if it is you, command me to come to you. So, prayer is an indispensable element. Prayer is an indispensable element. And spirit of discernment, asking the Lord always, is important. And I like the idea of prayer is communication between me and God. It's time to talk with God and listen to Him. There is a Bible commentary called BST. BST stands for Bible Speaks Today. Yes, Bible speaks today and God speaks today. And our God, one day I said, our God is the God of go. When He calls His people, who will tell them go? He called Moses and said to Moses in the Old Testament, go to the king of Egypt and tell him, let my people go. And then in the New Testament, Jesus said to His disciples, go to the whole world and preach the gospel. Our God is the God of go. I can remember Pam with Jerry when he said, the most expensive word in the Bible is go. Go. Our God is the God of go. When God calls us, He calls us for an action. And we have to step out in faith, trusting Him. Place your life and destiny in His hand. Our God is the God of go. And Peter asked Him, if it is you, command me to come to you. Jesus said, come. And Peter started walking on the water. Peter started walking on the water, and he became the first human being in history who can walk on the water. Ancient Egyptians said, it's impossible. Walking on the water is impossible. But with Jesus Christ, the impossible is possible. With Him, the impossible becomes possible. Peter started walking on the water, and he got out of the boat. And the question, now that I feel, what would you choose, the water or the boat? What is your boat? What is your boat? What is my boat? My boat is the place where I bought my safety and security. I try to secure my life and live in safety. But sometimes God's calling for us to leave everything and follow. It's about following the Lord. I like Rick Warren when he said, we have to love our Lord supremely and follow Him wholeheartedly. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. It takes time to think about that. Jesus Christ Himself asked Peter in Gospel of John, chapter 21, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? 3 times. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? If you love God, you have to love people around you. Which means, if you want to express your love for God in a very practical way, you should love people around you. And as I said, the boat is safe, secure, and comfortable. Sometimes we don't have the language to express our love for people, or we don't have the means that we can use to do something for them. But I think when we just meditate on Him and think about Him and let Christ be what you need, really what you need, you will find something in His calling. He calls us. If you will get out of the boat, you will walk on the water with Jesus. And there is more than one reason, actually, to get out of your boat, and for me to get out of my boat as well. One reason, Jesus is walking on the water. Jesus is walking on the water, and Jesus is calling. Jesus invites you for a walk, unforgettable walk. It's the great adventure for spiritual growth. Something very, very amazing that will make you ecstatic for life itself. Just we used for our routine in life, but I think God is calling us for something else. I'll tell you something from physics a little bit. Don't know how many minutes I have. Okay. One day I found something about God is love in First Epistle of John. Chapter 4 and verse 8, God is love. And in the first epistle of John, God is light. First epistle of John, chapter 1 and verse 5, God is light. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if you want love, light, life, you will find them in Jesus Christ. And actually, He is the source of life itself. One of the things that I found about the Apostle Paul, he said, for me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. Somebody said, Jesus Christ was, for the Apostle Paul, was the source and secret of his continual joy. He was the source and secret of his continual joy. So that's great when we let Christ everything in our lives. Put Him as the one and the only one in your life, and trust in Him. Trust in His character and His competence. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And the Apostle Paul said, I can do everything in Christ who strengthens me. I can do with Him. If I will go to Him, if I will ask Him, if I will trust in Him, just put everything between His hand and trust in Him. So, and I like this idea. If you don't get out of the boat, there is a guaranteed certainty that you will never walk on the water. This is the immutable law of nature. So you have to get out of the boat if you want to walk on the water. At the end, I would like to say, I like this idea. In a Mennonite church, we talk about Jesus community reconciliation. Jesus is the source of our faith. Community is the center of our lives, and the reconciliation is the center of our work. We are talking about real Jesus, real people, real transformation. Real people, real Jesus transformation. And the reconciliation is very important in our lives, and our faith in Jesus that will create community. And Christianity means community in Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ. Final thoughts, just I would like to conclude with. Peter walked on the water, but actually he did something. And I would like to say it. Keep your eyes on the Lord and you will shine like the sun. Keep your eyes on the Lord. So when he kept his eyes on the Savior, he walked on the water. But when he took off his eyes from the Savior and he found around him the storm, he was about to sink. And he cried out in fear, Lord, save me. And Jesus, at the same moment, at the same second, reached out his hand and grabbed him. Lord, save me. There is a good news here for all of us. The Lord is real and always near. The Lord is real and always near. Eugene Peterson said something about Matthew chapter 28 and verse 11, the very well-known verse in the Bible, when Jesus said, "Come to me and I will give you rest." He said, Jesus said, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it and learn. Come to me, get away with me, walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it and learn." And in my position as a teacher, I said, Jesus Christ himself is the greatest teacher. In Gospel of John chapter 11, Martha went to Mary and said, "Is here and he is calling for you." He is the teacher and we are his disciples. And this is a great position to be a disciple and student in a school of Christ and learn Jesus Christ himself. One day I received a huge book from a friend. He is a physician and he is a Bible commentator and he is a brilliant mind and he loves the Lord from the bottom of his heart. And he wrote in his book these words: "I am a student for the Bible and I am a student for the Lord of the Bible. I'm a student for the Bible and I'm a student for the Lord of the Bible in a school of Christ. The Lord is here and he is calling for you. The teacher is here and he is calling for you." Jesus, community, reconciliation, and the word reconciliation, which means, I like this definition, simple definition for reconciliation. Reconciliation is a restoration relationship. And Jesus Christ came to reconcile us with God the Father and restore our lost relationship with him. And he is calling us to be tools for healing and agent of peace in the world and ask people to come and reconcile with him. This is the meaning of reconciliation and community. Community, I like the definition of community. Community, which means common unity and our unity in Jesus Christ himself. It's all about Jesus. It's all from him. It's all for him. He created everything and he is the God who created the water and he invites us to walk with him on the water. Are you ready? Are you ready to get out of the boat? Are you ready to deepen your faith? Are you ready to go with him for such excellent adventure for spiritual growth and transformation? If it is you, command me to come to you. That's a real story that happened. If we're talking about Jesus, community reconciliation, real Jesus, real people, real transformation, Jesus walked on the water and Jesus asked Peter to come to him walking on the water and Peter became the first water walker. If it is you, command me to come to you. Let's ask the Lord to give us the spirit and to give us the wisdom in his knowledge and spirit of revelation and ask him, Lord, what do you want me to do? What is my boat? Where area in my life you want me to step out in faith, trusting you, put your hand in the hand of Jesus and walk on the water? In a world in constantly changing world, you can trust in God and in Jesus that will never change. One of the great things that people study in systematic theology, it is called immutability of God. God will never change. So trust in unchanging God in changing world. This is what I feel Jesus wants us to do in these days. Just trusting in him. Step out in faith. Ask him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you. Let's pray. Our Lord and Savior, thank you so much for your word of life. Thanks, Lord, that you are our Redeemer, our Sustainer, and our Savior. Thanks, Lord, you call us to walk with you on water. You invite us. Our Lord, help us to discern your calling and increase our faith. Let us deepen our faith in you, trust in you more and more. Help us, Lord, to see you through the circumstances around us. Sometimes it's not easy, but help us to keep our eyes always in you, not on the circumstances of life, and trust in you that you are our living and loving God. Our Lord, I ask you to help us to keep the words of faith and the words of God in our lives, and we trust that these words are active and alive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.